Hello and welcome to season two of Mind Over Mama. Season two. Thank you so much everyone that's tuned in so far. So I'm Colette, I'm your host, as well as being a holistic therapist, and I empower women to fully love themselves inside and out. And on this podcast, each week, we will be joined by inspiring women, sharing their stories and covering all things motherhood, mindset and mental well-being. Topics that are really close to my heart and so, so important to share. Thank you so much for being here and get ready to be inspired. This is Mind Over Mama. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind Over Mama. I am your host, Colette, and I am also today going to be your guest. Because I have realised that I haven't shared a lot about my story and my journey, and I feel like now is the perfect time. So if you don't know me, I am a holistic mindset coach, and I'm also a Rose Reiki therapist. I really began this journey as a response to my own struggles with mental health, and I hope by sharing this, I might inspire you and also remind you that you're never alone in your struggles. So about 9 years ago, I found myself face to face with my own mental health in a way that I never had done before. I was experiencing chest pains, breathlessness, like a massive sense of dread. And I did what a lot of people do, and that's go to Google. And Google told me I'm having a heart attack. And I didn't think I was having a heart attack, but I knew that it wasn't good. So I still called the doctor straight away. They got me straight in. And after running an ECG, they assured me that my heart was in good shape, but the doctor said to me that I've got like anxiety and like maybe some like depression. Rather than handing me a prescription, though, he read me a poem, and it's called Leisure, and it's by William Henry Davies. I'm not going to read it here, but if you have a look at it. And at the time, it didn't make any sense to me why he was reading this poem. But I get it now, like upon looking back. And the poem, it really beautifully captures the chaos of life. You know, how we often get so caught up in the hustle and bustle that we forget to really appreciate the world around us and the simplicity of being present in our thoughts. And at the time as well, that was really true for me. You know, I was swept up in the current of life, was constantly rushing around, never pausing for a breath, taking on all the shifts at work, just juggling home life. I mean, I was busy all of the time. So I left the doctors that day just with the poem in my head and thinking, okay, then. And in an attempt to manage my mental health, I immersed myself into exercise and became really fixated on dieting. So I really heavily like calorie counted and portion controlled. I'd be getting up at like the crack of dawn to get out for like a 10 mile run and then come home and do another workout DVD on top. And I'd do this 6 days a week, sometimes seven, depending. I also ended up drinking like heavily as well. And the weird thing is I used to like justify like drinking like a bottle or two of wine because I'd been out for a run. So it was okay because I'd burnt X amount of calories. And this was like a familiar pattern for me. And I just carried on. I plodded along with life. You know, no one around me really knew that I was unhappy. I like held down like decent jobs and I just bumbled along, and it was working okay until I went through my divorce and I ended up getting rehoused in like an unfamiliar area. And I think that and a combination of stuff, it just all like bubbled up and exploded. And then my mental health took a massive nosedive then. I found myself kind of really sinking deeper into like a pit of self-loathing, feeling like disconnected from everything around me. And I feel like the heaviest part really was the silence. Like I really struggled because I didn't tell anybody around me, and I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to burden them. Partly that was the reason. I also was worried about the fear of judgment, and also like I was worried about, you know, not risk like getting any help as well, because look what happened before. The doctor just read me a poem, so why am I going to go to the doctors? So I did end up going to the doctors because I kind of like hit like a rock bottom, really. I started like having like intrusive thoughts. And I just thought, okay, I need to go and get some help now. So I spoke to the doctor and she was really good. She prescribed me some antidepressants, but she didn't really want me to take them unless I really needed to. And I just felt at that time I needed to because of the place that I was at. And then she gave me the details to self-refer myself to counselling, and I did that as well. And the wait list for that was like about 3 to 4 months, which is a long time when you're, you know, struggling. But I just thought, okay. And obviously I had the emergency number to call just in case, but still, like, it's a long time to wait. During this time, though, things got like worse for me. The thoughts got a lot worse, trigger warning, but like suicidal thoughts were happening more often. And I ended up self-harming as well. And there was a moment when I remember lying in bed and I looked up at the ceiling, and I swear I actually saw the shadow of like a black dog on the ceiling. And I know some people call depression the black dog, so I don't know if that was the reason why, but I just knew at this point, like, I need to do something right now. So I called the emergency number for the counselling, and luckily I was fast tracked and I was seen like within a few days, which was like really good. And I only had 4 sessions because that's all that they offered at the time. I don't know what the situation's like now, but it was just 4 free sessions then for me. And whilst they'd helped a little bit, like we definitely unlocked the door to my past, and I started to see how some of my past experiences as a child had like shaped my perception of myself and the world around me. They didn't fix everything. And I mean, how could they? How can 4 weeks fix everything? Which, particularly when you've got a lot of old trauma and stuff, you need longer, really. But, you know, it was what it was. I ended up finishing the sessions. I didn't have depression anymore, which was good, but I still had anxiety, and I still didn't feel like myself at all. I ended up looking on Facebook one day and I saw a holistic coach. She was looking for some clients, and I just thought, well, I'll give it a go. I've got nothing to lose. So I ended up working with her, and very quickly when working with her, I realized that one of the missing things for me was self-love. I didn't have any self-love. You know, I always put everyone else's needs before me. I didn't set boundaries with anybody because I was just always wanting to like please people and do stuff for them. I always took on too much. I wasn't doing all of the things that filled me up at all. There were so many things that I wasn't doing. So once we started actually working on those, like, the magic really started to happen. I saw like quite a quick transformation, really. I started to feel very quickly like a different person. We challenged a lot of like limiting beliefs and some of the anxieties and stuff. And I really felt like a new person. It was amazing, really. Now, and I started doing activities that I enjoyed doing. I prioritized like my physical health, and not in a addictive way like before, an obsessive addictive way, actually, you know, just healthily doing exercise. And it was just an amazing transformation. I really began to understand that I needed to take care of myself before I could effectively take care of others. So not long after this, when I'm feeling like lots better, I ended up having my son, who's now 2. And when he was 6 months old, I made the decision to separate from his father. And I honestly think that's because I was in a place, a lot better place, like mentally. And I was no longer really willing to like sacrifice kind of like my own mental health and self-worth over like an unhappy relationship, because that was the point where I was at. And yes, whilst it was a daunting step, it was really an essential one in my journey towards happiness. It was something that needed to happen because I knew how I felt, and I knew that I just couldn't carry on anymore. So that's what I did. And honestly, things have been great since then. You know, don't get me wrong, there's obviously challenges when you're a single mum, but you make things work. And when you've got, like, when you love yourself enough to really know, like, what you want, you can just make anything work. I have really quite firm boundaries with people. I'm very self-aware now. So if I am ever feeling a bit rubbish, I check in with myself, I see what the problem is, and then I work on it. So I would just say to anyone, if ever you're kind of facing anything like that, yes, it is scary. But the scarier thing is actually being stuck in a situation that you're not happy in, because that unhappiness will carry on forever. Sometimes you have to jump and face that fear. And honestly, like, you will be able to get through it. Like, you honestly really will. Something else that I've done more recently is that I've then became fully sober. So I was very aware that, you know, my drinking was kind of like a little bit crazy. So I didn't drink during my pregnancy at all. But I did start drinking after having him. And particularly on the weekends when my son was with his dad, then I'd probably be drinking a lot more than what I probably should. And I just felt like I was slipping back into a place where like alcohol was like maybe taking over. And I knew that was no good for my mental health. I mean, it is a depressant after all, right? So I decided to go fully sober. So when you hear this now, I will be sober for 8 months. And that wasn't a quick thing. That took me 4 attempts to actually become fully sober. Because like, even though I'd been sober for 9 months when pregnant, the attempts when I was trying, it was very easy to just excuse it and just have a drink. You know, if I'd had a bad day, it's like, okay, we'll have a drink. If something good has happened, let's celebrate with a drink. And it was just easy to deal with emotions with alcohol rather than sit and feel them. But as my 40th birthday was approaching, I just feel like I don't want to be continuing in my 40s like this. Like, this is not the life that I envisage. So I made a point on the final attempt of actually telling everyone around me that like I was doing this. I set up a sober Instagram page for full accountability. And since that day, on the 11th of December, I have not had a single drop of alcohol. And I have been out on nights out. I've been to comedy clubs. I have had fun. I've done all the things that I did when I was drinking, but without alcohol. And I now have no regrets. I have no hangovers. I would say I'd have more money, but actually that's a lie, because what I've ended up doing is I've treated myself to lots of the things that I wouldn't have got before, because now I can do it. So, you know, I don't have a big pot of savings, but I do have a happy and fulfilled life, which I think is like more important in like some occasions, right? So yeah, today I'm really fully thriving. I'm living a fulfilling life. I'm sober. I'm really present. And I prioritize self-care. And this positive change has allowed me to guide other women on journeys to their self-love. I have just recently written a book, and I just wanted to share my experiences and practical tips on like cultivating self-love. So it's just a very small self-help book. I know sometimes they can be long and it can be a bit too much, but I don't have a very long attention span. So I've written it in the same way that I would like to read. Short, to the point, practical things that you can do every day to help you up your self-love game. So just want it to be a handy guide. So the order link for that is now available. So we'll pop that on the bottom of the podcast as well. But that's been a very important part of my journey to self-love. And if I can help other people on their journey, like, that's what I want to do. And even if it's just one person and that one person pays it forward, like, my work is done, right? Like, the ripple effect, it's very important. So I just want to say thank you so much for lending your ears to my story today. And I'm just, when I talk about my depression and stuff, you know, I don't share any of this for like sympathy. It is literally because I hope that it resonates even with just one person and provides like a form of glimmer, of hope and reassurance that we can and do overcome like challenges that life likes to throw in front of us. You know, we don't just survive, we thrive, and ultimately we shine brilliantly, because that is what we are here for. So if you do remember one thing from my story, it is really that it's the importance of reaching out when you feel the weight of depression or suicidal thoughts. There's no judgment, only understanding and support. And I know it's hard, but honestly, you do need to do it. And even if you think you haven't got anyone around you, call someone like the Samaritans or something, because there is people out there that will be able to guide you to the right services. And I know they might not be as fast as what we would like, but there is help out there. Just remember that taking that first step towards seeking help makes the rest of the journey like 100% easier. I thank you so much again. And remember to tune in next week to hear another amazing story from another guest. Thank you and goodbye. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Mind Over Mama. I hope you found this episode inspiring and insightful. If you would like to connect with either myself or any of my amazing guests, you will find all of our details in the show notes. Remember, you don't have to face life's challenges alone. Make sure you're always prioritising your self-love and your mental well-being. And if you are struggling, please reach out to your support network, whether it's doctors, friends, or even me or any of my guests. Together, we are definitely stronger. Keep on shining and tune in next week. Thank you so much again.